I used to be out for myself and alone. But that's not who I am anymore.
You're on a different path now.
And I have you guys.
We're family.
Fanboys and Friends presents...
Lord Vader. Dispatch Inquisitors to hunt the rebels.
The Empire's looking everywhere for us.
We can't just run.
We're being pulled out of hyperspace.
It's a Star Destroyer!
No. That is something else.
Lock down the spaceport.
We can't beat that blockade. Not without a better ship.
The Red Blades. They took her. They knew.
The Inquisitors are after these kids because they're like you, Ezra.
This is one of my most advanced designs. And it packs a punch.
If only we had more allies. I know someone.
My name is Rex. Captain, 501st Clone Battalion. Meet Commanders Gregor and Wolf.
Red 5. Ghost Transmissions.
Fighting alongside soldiers isn't what I signed up for.
We are fighting a bigger fight.
My parents! They're out there, and I've got to find them!
We're soldiers. This is what we were born to do.
There are questions. Questions that need answering.
You are a Jedi.
I'm not really a Jedi.
Then be a pirate Jedi.
Still a bounty hunter, I see.
Tell me you don't miss it.
Ezra, your parents, they escaped.
The Empire put a bounty on you.
You gonna try to collect?
What if you forget whose side you're on?
I would never be on their side.
I'm Clan Ren, House Vizsla. I seek justice through single combat.
How do we fight him?
Ezra, we were lucky to survive.
The apprentice of Anakin Skywalker lives.
Skywalker's apprentice could lead us to other lost Jedi.
Your speculation and discussion of all things Star Wars Rebels.
Unexpected, but not unwelcome.
Join the rebellion. Stay rebellious, my friends.
All right, gang, and welcome to the proper season start episode of Red 5 Ghost Transmissions. I am your host, David Senden, and with me, no, it's not, you know, Matt Clifton, or it's not our other guest for this season, Kevin Raider Nerd Reisel. Yes, I'll still call him Raider Nerd, even though Facebook tends to screw people out of their catchy names. Nah. But with me tonight is your friend and mine, all the way out in Florida, or Dagobah, Kyle Wagner. Kyle, how's it going?
Oh, not bad, but I'm holding this shiny thing that's floating in my hand, and it's going red. I don't know what to do with it.
Don't do it, man. In your case, it's called taxes, not holocrons.
No, all is well. I'm excited. We had one heck of a season opener for Rebels, that's for sure.
Yes, we did. We did. We certainly did that. I will say this right now. I don't think there was a single person who felt blue by that premiere.
And it starts already.
And the Thrawn jokes begin.
Let them come. Let them come. So I think after all the teases, the clips here and there, celebration, I think everybody was worked up to enough of a fervor that, yeah, they were ready for this on Saturday night.
They were. Yeah, they were.
So shall we dive right in, because we got a lot of meat on the bone?
Sure. Since it is the proper start of the season, Kyle, why don't you take us through beat by beat the episode at large, and then we'll, you know, I don't know, go into Rebels Recon, and then we'll discuss the episode and then what we learned from Recon as a result.
Absolutely. So we open up this season, and definitely some time has passed. David, have they established how much time is from this season to Twilight start of this season to Twilight, from Twilight of the Apprentice, I should say?
I believe I read a tweet from Pablo, the bearded Canadian god Pablo, that it was 6 months.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I figured 6 months, maybe even close to a year. You've definitely, then let's just start right off. We've definitely seen a little bit of change in the character designs. Obviously, Ezra has his new look with shorter hair. I even have to admit, it looks like they're drawing Sabine with a little bit more maturity to her face.
Well, I certainly hope so, because, Minock's going to be disappointed he's not here to hear this drastic turn. But I felt that Sabine's armor seemed a little less bright.
Yeah, it seemed like they kind of, I noticed that too, it felt like they added a little more black to it, I think.
Yes, yeah, which really pleased me, because I'm just like, that was one of the many things annoying me.
And of course, new hairstyle too, it's a little bit more purple, but again, toned down. So it was like, they took a little brightness out of Sabine, toned her down, and I think that's just a sign of Sabine maturing.
Well, either that or a sign of the fact that later this season, I believe we're getting really a heavy Sabine slant, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we are. I think Sabine is actually going to be, from what I've seen in this episode, and I think going through this season, is going to become a pretty regular character to the story compared to what she has been in past seasons.
Yeah, which is just some sort of weird Punky Brewster thing for Lando to hit on and Ezra to go, stop that!
So, we open up this episode with Ezra leading a team on a rescue mission. Turns out they're going to be breaking somebody out of a Imperial prison.
Oh, yes, a very familiar old friend.
Yes. So, of course, first thing we notice right away is no Kanan on this mission. So that stands out, and a lot of people have seen this from the preview clips and everything. That they hit the Imperial jail, break in, some very cool little scenes here, and it turns out they're breaking out our old buddy Hondo. Which, mm-hmm. I think for what they're doing with Ezra right now, and considering the Hondo and Ezra relationship, I think this is a good place to bring Hondo in right out of the way, because it's somebody who can really see the perspectively see the change in Ezra from the last time he saw him.
Well, that's true, yeah.
You know, you don't have the crew who's been around Ezra every day, and kind of, when you're around somebody every day, sometimes there's little changes, but you don't tend to notice them, but when you've not seen them for a while, and there's a drastic change, it stands out a little more.
Yep.
So
I will say this. I have a feeling that Hondo will essentially play the everyman card. He will be the sort of Han view as to what Ezra was versus what he is now.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how much Hondo was going to be in the season. I don't mind some regular appearances here and there, but I hope they don't make him a regular all the time in this season.
Oh, I think his dialogue is fun.
Oh, his dialogue is fun, but, you know, I think there's so much already going on this season. I think Hondo involved is definitely going to be a part of it, but I just, you know, we've got so many characters already we still need to focus on, so we'll see what happens, but
As I recall, you and I had that discussion last season.
Yeah, and I think they had the right amount of Hondo in it, so
yeah.
Hopefully they'll continue with that. But, so, they break out Hondo, and in the midst of the escape, like typical, things go a little awry. And this is when we see just how much Ezra has changed from the end of Twilight of the Apprentice. Because in the last 6 months, Ezra's obviously been on the fast track of Force skills. I'm not going to say Jedi training, I'm going to say Force skills, because he just mows down some stormtroopers.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sorry, I will say this, and the Kevin Kiner score, which is a beautiful score for this episode, I might add, but the Kevin Kiner score really does elaborate. Ezra's going into some dark, maybe non-Disney XD-like places this season.
Well, and I think what's going to be interesting is, so they get out of the prison, but when they get there, they're stuck with an Imperial Walker and a few more stormtroopers, and we've seen this in the trailers that have come out. Is Ezra uses a Jedi mind trick in a way we really haven't seen to this extent, I think, ever in something in Star Wars. And that's, he was basically playing puppeteer and controlling this person.
Right.
With this walker pilot basically killing other stormtroopers and clearing a path, and then basically having this walker pilot send himself over the edge. And you could see it even right that moment right before Ezra does it, his facial look changes, and it definitely gets a little darker, especially as he's doing it. And again, this is where the Kevin Kiner score really kicks in, because the music kind of changed. It went to a little bit of a darker tone. So, perfect matching there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you see Hondo going, you know, just being amazed. Is that Ezra? You know, what's happened? And you know, the other thing I liked, too, was when they said, wow, when did Kanan teach you that? He's like, and Ezra's just, and you could hear it just in the Stone Cold voice, he didn't. And you're like, yeah, things aren't right with our favorite young rebel apprentice at the moment.
Yeah. You know what it reminded me of, shockingly, this whole thing? Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm jumping ahead of myself, but the whole angle with Ezra and this Sith holocron that we see him with later. But, you know, the same from the end of season two. What it basically reminded me of, and for a Disney show to make me think of this, makes me go, wow. But I'm just like, wait a minute, Ezra. You're basically behaving like every teenager has found his dad's supply of drugs.
Yeah, you know, I made this, as I was watching the episode, the thought crossed my mind. Because, I mean, I will say this too, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the episode too, but Ezra is sounding very Anakin-esque right now.
Yeah, he is.
And what I'm starting to wonder is, are we talking, let's see, teenage hormones, dark side influence. Teenage hormones, dark side influence.
Both.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Do teenage hormones allow for more dark side influence? Are they trying to tell us teenage hormones are the dark side?
I think we already figured this out. Those of us that went through the change already figured this out.
So,
and you know what? If you're still single, people out there, you're still figuring this out.
So,
this message brought to you by Red 5 Ghost Transmissions.
This has been an after-school special.
Oh, man, that was a 90s flashback. Go on.
So, the team escapes. They get back to the Rebel base. And Ezra gets a promotion for his great work in the field.
Mm-hmm.
He is now Lieutenant Commander Bridger. Of course, what else we notice is that Ezra has been getting his training not so much from Kanan, but from that little holocron that he took away with him at the end of Twilight of the Apprentice.
With Mika Futterman's voice inside.
Yes.
And of course, I'm sorry. This is like a prize that the bottom of the Cracker Jack box. I meant Nika Futterman. If Nika Futterman's voice is in an object, you take it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
if she offers you a snack at lunchtime, you take it.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, what I did notice, too, was when Ezra was using the holocron, again, you see the facial expression change. You see his mood change. You see him talking about he's going to do anything to increase his power to protect his friends. So, again, you're seeing the early Anakin trend here with Ezra.
And let me say, you say early Anakin trend. Let me just point out, he may be showing an early Anakin trend, but you want to know what the only difference is?
What's that?
We've seen where he gets his scar from.
Yep, this is true.
They never showed us that Anakin scar, darn it.
Yeah. So,
had to point that out.
Yeah. So, in the meantime, we kind of learn where Kanan has been. He's basically been
sulking,
moping, meditating, whatever you want to call it, over the loss of his vision at the end of Twilight of the Apprentice. And he's distanced himself from everybody, even putting a little distance between him and Hera.
Yeah.
So, that's a little interesting. So, Ezra's been kind of running unguided. And it's showing more obvious, because Ezra's getting more confident and cocky, shall we say. So, they get a new mission, and we see for the first time Y-Wing fighters. David, how happy were you to see some Y-Wings?
Well, I was happy, very happy. I was happy that it was more the episode 4 design and not so much the Clone Wars design, although I did like that. The reason I'm more happy about this being the episode 4 design is it is showing the progression the show's going for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did like the little throwback moment with Rex when he was talking about him.
Yeah, no, I like that. And yeah. I like Ezra's old comment.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, of course, this information all came from Hondo, which keeps him involved in the episode.
Yeah.
So, Lieutenant Commander Bridger is assigned to lead a team to go scout out this Imperial base that has basically been turned into a salvage yard and is destroying these fighters. With the thought of, okay, we're going to claim these fighters and, you know, help the rebellion out. So,
now, I want to point something out here, though. Did that that base design look at all familiar?
Just a tad. Just a tad.
Like when remember that that droid that turned into a spy, I guess, was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Yes.
And I guess Ahsoka and the troops were like the Cleveland Indians. Goldie wasn't too happy with that.
Yeah. No. So, Ezra takes a team of Zeb, Chopper, Sabine, and Rex tags along for this one.
Yeah.
As they figure out that they're going to be having to stop through a area of the Miners Guild because they can't make a full hyperspace jump all the way to this base. So that's going to lead to an interesting moment here a little later on. At the same time, we see Hera kind of confront Kanan a little bit, saying he needs to go talk to Ezra. And, you know, Kanan basically in sulky woe is me mode, just staying away.
Can I point out that this was a sticking point for me. Where was that Jedi Guard mask that gave Kanan that kind of Bloodsport look? What is this?
Yeah, I was a little thrown by this myself, but I think by the end of the season we're not going to have to deal with it as much.
Oh, all right. You think he gets his vision back?
Huh? I don't know if he's going to get his vision back, but something's going to happen. But
well, they do look a little Death Trooper green, with their eyes going on.
Yep. And so, you know, I know this guy named Murdoch Kanan should probably talk to.
Crossover!
Anyway, so
let's not have that happen.
No, let's not let that have no, that happen. No, but
let's not.
Other than a little podcast craziness.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you better not get any ideas.
So we go over to our Imperial side where we see our favorite Moff, Mr. Tarkin, having a little conversation with Governor Price about the Lethals.
Who looks vaguely familiar. Were you thinking at all Arena Spalko?
A little, but at the time I was kind of so locked into that moment that it didn't kind of cross my mind until a little bit later.
And, well, I didn't catch it at first. I caught on the second viewing. But on the first viewing, I was like, man, that's a familiar table. Yep. Where do I know that table from?
Yep. So, as they're talking about, you know, the current group that's been trying to take in the Rebels and how that admiral of that fleet is basically more of a politician than really a warrior, and she needs somebody that's more of a warrior, more of a tech, you know, a true army tactician, and she asked for the 7th Squadron, which our favorite Moff, Mr. Tarkin, says, absolutely. So, we know what that means. And sure enough, here comes the newly appointed Grand Admiral Thrawn. Now, Thrawn. Yeah, Thrawn.
You almost said Thrawn. Yeah. I'm like, wait, that's an entirely different admiral.
Yeah, this is true.
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Thrawn. Like,
spring break!
Yep. So, what impressed me about this was, even he is not in this episode much, but even in this first episode, we see his tactical and calculating abilities right out of the gate.
Yep.
As he kind of is able to put some pieces together to figure out what our rebels are up to and start developing a plan to take them out. And, you know, they set this up beautifully, I thought, in the aspect, David, of we know now he is going, I mean, we already knew kind of going in, but we just see how much of a problem he's going to be for the Rebels all season.
Well, I think it's going to be a two-fer problem of Thrawn and Maul.
Yeah, Maul's going to make things complicated.
Doesn't that boy rear his ugly head again?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Or this week, I suppose.
So, in the meantime, Ezra and Sabine and the rest of the team hit their first jump point in this mining colony, and of course, bam, right there before they even have a chance to plot their coordinates, is a patrol for the miners, looking to report them to the Empire, and so on and so forth. And again, we get a little bit of, you know, space flight, space battle. They take out a couple, and I still love those mining group TIE fighters. I just love the design on those.
Oh, those ones? Yeah.
But then we start seeing a little bloodthirstiness from Ezra. She's like, we got to go destroy this transport. And they're like, that's not the mission. And you can even just tell, looking in Sabine and the way she's talking and Rex, that, you know, they're a little taken aback by how Ezra was acting with this.
I will just say to this, people, he's not in Aladdin Street Red anymore.
No, for sure not. And of course, while all this is going on, we finally really start diving into Kanan, who is in meditation, yet he keeps hearing a voice asking him to come to him. He needs to come to him. So he follows this voice, and David, I know you're very excited about this. Just who did he happen to come across?
Bendu.
That is right, Bendu. A very incredible creature design, and even better voiced by the legendary Tom Baker.
Now, I will say, when I... First of all, I love that he's in Star Wars, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the family. But when I heard Tom Baker... I think that news broke about a year ago.
Yeah, right? But at the time, we didn't know what he was going to be doing, per se.
I know. I had really, really hoped, because I feel like something as legendary as Tom Baker deserves that. I had hoped that he was going to be utilized for episode 7, or which wasn't out at the time, or one of these subsequent episodes.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, it was a perfect casting for him to be voicing this. And
oh, absolutely perfect. And I'm not saying I'm not satisfied with the end result.
Yeah.
I'm very satisfied with the end result. But I'm just like, he needs to at some point transition over, because, I mean, he could even play Doctor Who in a Star Wars movie. I don't care.
Yes.
And I'm not even big on Doctor Who. I mean, hey, I'm big on Doctor Who, but it's called DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes, the graduated companion that is Arthur Darvill.
Sorry, Whovians, but my Doctor Who is DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
I think most will be accepting of that. So, what's great about the Bendu is... they established something that we weren't sure was going to be canon or not, but we talk about now. There's not... the Force is just what it is. It's a thing of nature. Because the Bendu represents the middle. He's not a Sith. He's not a Jedi. He's just a Force user.
Well, were you... when he was saying that, and here's my question for you. When he was saying that, were you at all thinking the Mortis Father?
A little bit. I just don't... I'm curious to see how far they're going to tap into that, because I do think they're going to tap into that before the season is over. But yeah. I do love the aspect of he takes the holocron that Kanan had found with Ezra and says, well, this isn't a thing of evil. It's just a thing. It's what you make of it.
Right. He was basically treating it like, you know, guys look at jewelry before they give it to their wives after doing something stupid.
Which, you know, I think opens up this whole door about light side and dark side. It's more the person using the Force than it is the actual Force itself.
Yeah, it does. That's why I related it to Mortis in a sense, because Mortis opened up that same door.
Yeah. So
now, granted, I would have personally wanted Clone Wars to do more explanation through that, more exploratory things through that door. But granted, you know, things had changed early enough where I felt like they didn't quite get the opportunity to do that.
Well, and I'm going to say this, David, and I'm not going to get it too off topic, but I do think this could set up some interesting stuff for what could be happening in future Star Wars films.
Yeah. No, actually, it's funny you say that, because it's a little side tangent, and we'll get back to the episode. I want to say, what if, you know, because Luke obviously being found at the end of The Force Awakens kind of suggests he was on some sort of Force sojourn. But what if he finds maybe on, oh, I don't know. I don't think it'll be destroyed. I think it'll get the Sith kicked out of it. But a ruined Jedha, and Luke finds a Bendu, and that leads him to more answers at this first Jedi temple on Octu.
Could very well be. I mean, at this point, who knows? But I do like what the possibilities of doors that this opens. And it could lead to absolutely nothing in the movies, but I think it wouldn't be there if there wasn't something there.
Oh, no, dude. I think it'll lead to something in the movies, because clearly, you know, episode 4, things that had happened almost 40 years ago now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are obviously speeding up. You know, complimenting or being sprinkled on the cake that is Rebels Season 3.
Yeah, I agree. So, very interesting. And, of course, the Bendu kind of basically gives Kanan a massive wake-up call. As Kanan realizes his problems are not with Ezra or with the team. It's with him, within himself, and how he is seeing himself and the world through his own eyes, quote-unquote. And using basically kind of gets him to wake up so he can use the Force and his other senses to replace the vision he has lost. Again, basically, I think we're going into Murdoch radar sense with the Force.
God.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to use a crossover, but it's just
Murdoch. He didn't say Modoc again.
Yeah, well, you know. So, but, I think it's an interesting take. And we know that there's more stuff coming with Kanan's eyes before the season is out. We've seen that in the trailers.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, in the meantime, we head back to...
Can I say something about Bendu's design?
Oh, absolutely breathtaking.
I love Bendu's design. You know what it reminded me of? The rock creature from Neverending Story.
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
So.
Now, granted, not quite as funny.
Yeah, well, you know. I think I'll still take Tom Baker, though.
Yeah, I'll definitely take Tom Baker any day.
So.
Not a Doctor Who guy, so.
We go back, and the Rebels have found this base where the Y-Wings are. And they discover they're being destroyed, and being destroyed rather rapidly. Which leads our new lieutenant commander to make basically a fairly stupid decision.
Big time.
And also, in a pretty shocking moment, basically just destroying Rex with rank, which you never thought you would see.
Right.
And again, everybody having this just look of shock over the way Ezra's acting.
Yep.
So, needless to say, they run into some dismantlement droids, and that
I love these droids because they kind of reminded me of the Buzz droids from Revenge of the Sith,
mm-hmm.
and B the big giant mushrooms you would hit in every sort of Super Mario Brothers game ever.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, YouTubers, I know you're really good at this. But if you take that scene and you don't cut it with some Super Mario Brothers music from Nintendo, that's a missed opportunity right there.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out. I know we have talented people in the audience. So, YouTubers, go to work. I want to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, then we get, you know, we survive our confrontation with these droids. We get to the base. Great moment with Hondo and some Ugnaughts.
Oh, yeah. Who knew Hondo spoke bacon?
Yeah, exactly. So, this is probably where I'm going to have my kind of one knock with the episode, David, though, is it got real kind of formulaic real quick here with this mission. You know, things go wrong, but things work out in the end.
Yeah.
You know, what I did like, though, was, I mean, of course, the good guys do pull it out. What I did like, though, is when they got back, that Ezra actually felt some consequences for his actions. And that new rank went away real quick.
Yeah, it did. It did. I mean, Hera pulled that thing away like you were late on a cable bill.
Yeah, which is I think is a good thing. And then we kind of had Kanan and Ezra mend some fences. And when but what I found interesting is obviously when Kanan told him he doesn't have the holocron anymore. Ezra's like sitting there saying, "Oh, I'm fine." Yet you know in the back of his mind the shakes are already kicking in, and he's getting ready to try to quit the habit.
He's got the itch.
Yeah, he's got the itch.
I mean, if you were listening to Nika Futterman, you know, whisper sweet evil nothings in your ear, you'd have the itch too.
Yeah. So, I think that ending sets up what I think is going to be probably the most intense season of Rebels we've ever had. And I gotta say, David, this season opener was a great first step to introducing us into what I think is going to be the most nerve-wracking episode or nerve-wracking season of Rebels, and the aspect is going to keep us on the edge of our seats the entire time.
Oh, absolutely. Now, before we go into final thoughts and some interesting news that has come to light, let's take a gander and listen to the latest courtesy of StarWars.com, Rebels Recon.
What's up, everybody? Andy from StarWars.com here at Lucasfilm headquarters, welcoming you back for Season 3 of Rebels Recon. Between Ezra's attitude change, Kanan's conversations with Bendu, and the introduction of Thrawn, we have a metric ton of stuff to talk about today. So let's skip the rambling intro and get right down to it. Rebels Recon starts right now. After breaking him out of prison, Hondo Ohnaka informs the Rebels of an Imperial scrapyard brimming with Y-wings ripe for the taking.
If we could steal a squadron's worth,
they would be key to building a strike fleet.
Kanan, still grappling with the events in the Sith Temple, encounters the Bendu, who gives him valuable insight into the ways of the Force.
Your connection to the Force allows you to see in ways others cannot. If you can see yourself, you will never be truly blind.
Narrowly succeeding in stealing the bombers, the Rebels escape capture, but only because Grand Admiral Thrawn has bigger plans in mind.
Break off your attack and allow them to escape with their meager reward.
This week we saw a different side of Ezra emerge, as well as seeing Kanan explore a deeper side of the Force with Bendu. I sat down with cast and crew to discuss the changes their characters are undergoing, as well as what it took to bring a legendary character like Thrawn back into Star Wars. Check it out.
Ezra has been messing around with the Sith holocron and learning some new tricks. How do you think this affects him?
He's learning more about the other side of the Force, and that's good and bad. One, because it is also kind of pulling at him, but it's good in the sense that he's broadening his like perspective, and he's learning more and learning how to harness the Force in different ways.
At the end of Steps into Shadow, Kanan comes out of his self-imposed exile to help the Rebels. What has he learned in this time?
After losing his sight, he separated himself from the Force and really kind of just sat in the dark. He blamed himself for a lot of what happened.
While Kanan might not ever see as he used to, he might be able to see things in a more detailed, emotionally involved way, in a clearer way than he ever has before.
Mm-hmm. The cowboy side of him is kind of taken the back seat.
And it's still there, right? Like, that will always be a part of Kanan, and I think it's important never to lose that. In the end, for Kanan, a lot of his character is going to be about resolving things that occurred in second season, and we'll see him deal with the fallout of those events throughout most of the series as we go.
I think one of the things that is key is the introduction of the notion that the Jedi are only one flavor of Force study, and they're the most well-known, but they're not the oldest. Through that, like, Kanan might find better answers in terms of what he's looking for.
He has to face some honest truths that you can't save everybody, you can't protect everyone. By chance or by luck or by will of the Force, he runs into this character who, for lack of a better term, is the Force.
Bendu is a pretty mystical concept, and What was the inspiration for that character?
In our animated projects, be it Clone Wars or Rebels, we've had a lot of freedom to explore the Force in a deeper way. Bendu is just this notion that there are many old things in the galaxy.
We were talking about developing this planet that the Rebels find and really wanted to make it a special place. There's something interesting about a character who sees outside of good and evil.
Bendu really isn't evil or good. He is kind of the balanced, to me, duality of the Force. When the Jedi talk about prophecies and whatnot, everybody talks in terms of balance of the Force. So it's a mistake to sit there and think that what you're ultimately trying to do is upend the light or the dark.
Bendu is a bit of an enigma. How do you think Kanan should handle dealing with him in the future?
It's not a character you can be anything but yourself with, or he just simply won't have time for you. Anytime Kanan brings that to the table, insecurities, fear, anger, cockiness, he strips it away right away.
Whose idea was it to bring Thrawn onto the scene?
The name was bandied around in season 1, very early season 1. However, at that time, the Rebels universe was too small to bring in a character as large and as powerful and as imposing as Thrawn. So we really wanted to develop the series and widen it out. And as the Rebels grew in power and a threat to the Empire would respond with someone like Thrawn.
You know, we're all big fans of the Thrawn trilogy. It was Dave who threw out the ideas like, well, are we ready for Thrawn at this point? And that was really ultimately Kiri's call. And she said, yeah, let's do it now.
How does this iteration of Thrawn compare with the original?
I feel like everyone that read Heir to the Empire and that whole trilogy felt like they got a great impression of who Thrawn is and his connection to art and the way he speaks and the way he commands.
In my mind, I really wanted to be as true as I could be to Zahn's books. So it was a great honor to actually take the time and really make sure we got the character as close to the novel as we could. This is a beloved Star Wars legacy character in my mind, so I really wanted to be as true to Thrawn as a character as I could.
In this version, Thrawn is more of an established character. There's not as much a sense of mystery around him in terms of who he is and what he's capable of. And we're at the height of the Empire too. So he's prominent, he's a threat, and he's basically ready to get into action right away.
This week, Dave Filoni, as well as members of the Rebels cast and crew, gathered a lucky group of fans for a screening of this week's episode, Steps into Shadow at Lucasfilm. What followed was a Q&A that we just so happened to attend and want to share with you. Check it out.
I love recording with the cast personally. It's the interaction that we have. We're kind of a really dysfunctional family anyway.
It's really about helping the actor get into their space and their character. You're trying to make that environment combative, whether it needs to be friendly, fun, and it's my job to push them to know that they've actually gotten there or not. One thing I've learned over the years, no matter how loud you think you're shouting or the intensity of it, it will be less when you get it back and then you animate it and it suddenly comes to life.
In this episode, that falling with the shuttle falling, we did that multiple times because we came back and you're like, yeah, this is going through a sandstorm and it's falling. Yo, this is loud as you can.
Sometimes I get the animation back in the render and it's this gorgeous thing and it's like, it's so intense. It's like, help, I'm over here. I'm like, whoa.
Okay.
I kind of go loud first, though. You probably have to pull me back.
They are so like their group. I can't even describe it. They're all similar. If you had weird purple stripy dog legs, then you would really, and you're not that far
I
off
do,
of
they're
it.
Under,
you're
that's why I'm wearing long pants
when
today.
You were such a child when we found you, and now you're such this adult now, so proud, but you know.
Got questions about Steps into Shadow or any other Rebels questions you've been sitting on since last season? Tweet them to @StarWars using the hashtag RebelsRecon, and maybe, just maybe, the Lucasfilm Story Group's Pablo Hidalgo will answer them here next week. Now, because I missed you and I love you so much, check out this exclusive preview of next week's episode, Holocrons of Fate.
Hang on, all right, we'll get you help. What happened here?
Red. Red Blade. After you. Made me tell... The ghost is in danger.
Another Inquisitor?
We've got to warn Hera.
Thanks for watching Rebels Recon. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. In the meantime, check out our episode guide for Steps into Shadow on StarWars.com while I go paint my face blue and buy some red contacts for Thrawn!
So, yeah, with the Recon, I think what we get is, you know, kind of a rehashing to get us ready.
Pretty much.
And then, I think too, I mean, a lot of the Thrawn stuff, a lot of people have known, and there's been stuff come from panels and stuff, whether it was at Celebration or Dragon Con recently mm-hmm. with Henry Gilroy and Zahn. So,
yeah. I did find it interesting though, that Thrawn was a name bandied about since season one.
Yeah. I think again, this is what we're seeing with Filoni is adding a lot of bits and pieces here, and he's selecting intelligently from what was kind of supposedly wiped out from canon, but he's bringing in the proper pieces at the proper times, and this is where Filoni and the entire Rebels team is doing an amazing job.
Yeah, well, wiped out from canon, but come on, it never really was in the first place.
Well, I know, but still, you know, we're just going with the words that were used, so...
Going with the words that fans made up themselves.
Yeah. So, but, David, there was another big piece of news this week as far as Star Wars animation goes.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Dave Filoni is no longer supervising director. Now, gang, before you go... And start, you know, stockpiling yourself along the cliff's edge and want to hop off. You know, let me say, the one who is supervising director now for Star Wars Rebels, Justin Ridge. And Justin Ridge has been with Star Wars Animation as long as Filoni has.
Yeah, and another key with this all this, too, as far as Rebels goes and why there will not be that big of a drop-off is... Henry Gilroy's continuing tie-ins with Rebels as well. He's been there since Clone Wars. He's one of the head writers. He's got a lot of say and a lot of input, and him and Dave are on a lot of the same wavelength. So,
well, and also I'll read a statement that was issued by Lucasfilm on this very topic.
Go for all it. Right?
The statement reads, this comes out of Slash Film that reported the story, but the statement reads, and this statement was direct from LFL, so you know it's legitimacy, people. Dave is just as involved as ever, overseeing all aspects of Star Wars Rebels production as executive producer, and occasionally directing episodes. In many ways, mentoring Justin and moving him into the role as supervising director has made it possible for Dave to be even more immersed in the writing and story structure of the show, as well as creatively overseeing future animation development. Justin started with Lucasfilm Animation on the first season of Star Wars The Clone Wars and worked with Dave before on Avatar The Last Airbender, so they've been working together for quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think this is just a natural progression. I don't think anybody needs to hit a panic button or anything. I think nothing but good comes out of this, David.
No, there is absolutely no need to hit a panic button. Let's, before we end the show, and I think this will be a great thing to speculate on and talk about, but they mention creatively overseeing the development of future Lucasfilm animation projects. Now, here's the big rebel speculation question of the day, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Could we be looking at more shows with Rebels still going on the trajectory it's going?
It's possible, because I think what we're more than likely to see is something spinning out of Rebels.
What, like, you know, Sabine, a Star Wars story?
Well, not so much. I mean, that's taking it. I don't think
I'd be the first to say no.
But I mean, what we could see is, you know, maybe there's a Kanan and Hera show or something like that that spins out. You know, I think we've all had the discussion that dark days are ahead for the Rebels, and it's going to change drastically. It could even be where we have the same cast of characters, but it's moved on from being Rebels into something else.
Ah.
You know, we've seen that happen with some other shows. But, and, you know, again, I think with what Disney has planned and Lucasfilm has planned, there's a lot of Star Wars stuff that's coming down the pike that we don't know about yet. So, at this point, nothing would surprise me.
True.
So, it's just an exciting time.
Oh, very exciting. Very exciting. Well, gang, that will do it for this proper episode of Red 5 Ghost Transmissions. Kyle, thanks for joining me on the Ghost this evening to talk this episode. And hopefully next episode we have our fun-filled crew.
Well, you can always hope. You never know what those Rebel missions are going to bring.
Yes, in the non-Star Wars world, we call it work.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But we do what we can.
Absolutely.
All right, well, Kyle, thanks again, my friend. And remember, gang, stay rebellious.
Always.
Thanks for listening to Red 5 Ghost Transmissions.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. But back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm. Uh-huh.
We rob from the Empire, give to the needy. A noble cause.
Yeah.
I'm on my mark.
And Lucasfilm Animation, respectively.
Gotcha.
Mission accomplished.
Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation are subsidiaries of the Walt Disney Company.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels in the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish.
All rights reserved.
Fighter, coming in at Mark 3.
We've lost Phoenix 1 and 2.
We will squeeze Lothal until someone reveals the whereabouts of these traitors.
For the good of Lothal, we have to leave.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Fighting alongside soldiers isn't what I signed up for.
We are fighting a bigger fight. We can't just run.
Ezra, we were lucky to survive.
This podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary, Lucasfilm.
Fear. The anger. The hate. I haven't sensed a presence like that since...
The Clone Wars.
My name is Rex. Captain. 501st Clone Battalion. I fought with Commander Tano during the Clone Wars. And a friend of hers... is a friend of mine.
Everyone, hang on!
Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation, respectively.
Who knows? We are off on
this podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary, Lucasfilm.
Rex, keep those ties off our back!
Working on it!
Surrender. I hope you brought a better class of soldier than the stormtroopers.
They'll all be coming now.
This podcast, Red 5 Ghost Transmissions, is meant for information and entertainment purposes only.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Thank you.
Master has deceived you into believing you can become a Jedi.